it. Now, in the process of the next few weeks, we're going to be concerned with three verses, and I'm kind of backtracking on this particular point, but it was just an interesting study. I hope that'll help people see a reason that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Here's in Jude, it says, and I'll start it from 17 to 19. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, in relation to looking at these verses, one of the things we have been approaching, and for the last few weeks I've looked into Scripture about these things and showed you what I found. And this is just the completion of this portion of the study, so hopefully, I won't take too long here. But in relation to this portion of the study, it has to do with the point about there being a context under which people are called certain things. There is a context for the elect of God, as we saw, a context for the saints, and there's a context for servants. There's a context, for different things that relate to the two programs in the Bible. There's the prophetic program, which takes up most of the Bible, and then there's the mystery program, which takes up, those 13 letters written by our Apostle Paul. A special apostle called out for a special purpose, for a special body to be specially inherited in this present time. To have a special inheritance in this present time. That inheritance is in heavenly places above. So that is the will of God today, to have that particular context made, to made known, the context of a body to be caught up in the air, to meet the Lord in the air. However, those 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon, there's some writing that comes after them. Those are, those things that have to do with the mystery that God has in those 13 epistles. There is some writing that comes after them. There are 9 books that come after this, about this mystery that never before known. And those 9 books have to do with things that relate to the 12 apostles' ministry. What's happening there? Of course, we rightly divide know that it has to do with God's future. The future on this earth, and the doctrine that was left off from Acts when Israel rejected the will of God as a nation. And so we see after this glorious mystery, 13 letters, they go right back to the apostles' doctrine of Peter, John, and the Jews, the leader of those, the Messianic Jews there, and Jude, and James, should I say, who was the leader of those Messianic Jews there. And so it goes back to that kingdom doctrine that involves prophecy after those 13 letters, Romans through Philemon. And so we have these 13 letters which involve us, a glorious dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles. And then after that, 9 letters that go right back to the kingdom doctrine, enduring to the end, faith and works. There's a difference there, because it will be a different administration in the future than is for now. What is going on now is the dispensation of the grace of God for Gentiles, and after we're caught up in the air to our heavenly inheritance, there'll be 7 years sometime after that, 7 years of tribulation on this earth. And so that 9 letters entails the 7-year tribulation doctrine on this earth, and it'll be involved about God and his prophetic program, going back to that prophetic program and fulfilling it and setting up a kingdom that he promised the Jews on this earth. So, when you come to Jude, it's part of those last 9 letters. So, when you look at this thing, that is the context in which Jude, James, and John, and and Peter and the writer of Hebrews, that's the context in which the people they address are called the beloved. They're beloved of the program to the Hebrews concerning prophecy. And we've looked at that in relation to the scriptures over the weeks that we saw. So we just to finish off this study, we'll do these certain verses here, and next week we'll get into the same context for the body of Christ. This is mostly a comparison type of class, just comparing certain things related to the doctrine, because like I said over the past couple of weeks or so, when you look at the Bible, it gives you a roadmap to who's being addressed. When it's calling somebody the beloved, when it's calling somebody saints, when it's calling somebody the elect, the Bible gives you the roadmap of who is that, what context are they in, what administration of God they're in, what dispensational purpose they're in. It's right there within the context of him calling them whatever the title he gives the saints. As is the beloved there, those of the kingdom purpose of God, when that tribulation comes, that'll be the context of the beloved. Those Jewish saints who will be a continuation of the little flock in tribulation, enduring tribulation to the end, holding fast and being not moved away from that tribulation doctrine that is the doctrine of the apostles that Christ taught and that will be continued in the tribulation. And so when you look at Jude, that's the context. It's back to that program that was cut off in Acts, but it's after we're caught up. And I think I've said that enough, don't you? But anyway, let's go back. We've looked at these scriptures from the nine writings in Hebrew through Revelation, and we'll continue there with looking at we'll go down to John 4. That's where I believe we left off, John 4. And so in John 4, let's go there. First John 4. And so here we go, First John 4. It says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And verse 3 is where I'm going to stop. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, we talked about some things related to that last week, and how those things, and how the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist in relation to that kingdom program will have to do with a time in tribulation when there will be that Antichrist guy on this earth. And their big thing about that will be that they can't take that mark of the beast. The beast will be the Antichrist in tribulation. And Jude tells is a letter for the saints to contend for the faith in the face of great apostasy within the little flock, which it's for them to contend for the faith. And then you look in Revelation and it tells what they're to contend for the faith about, the circumstances surrounding their contending for the faith and the things that related to what will they, the time they'll be in the book of Revelation, which comes right after Jude. But as you see, John writes in that same context and there, that point about, their false prophets. False prophets. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God. Before I get into that, there's that point about every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, there's that great point of what will be the significance toward the Hebrews in that tribulation. Now, they have to, now the point about that is the confession that Jesus is Christ is a big point with the Jews as it is with the world. You know, it's a big point with Israel especially. And because in that time, God's purpose and plan will be in the time of Jacob's trouble in that coming tribulation. So when you see this, that it has to do with the administration of the gospel that will be preached in that time. Now, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah is a very important thing that was shown in Acts chapter 2 about that. It's the those things toward Israel in relation to the gospel that was given unto them, that gospel of the kingdom. And we see it in Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2. And let's go to read Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. And Peter here is speaking on the day of Pentecost, the Jewish celebration in Judea, and these Jews from all over the world had come, and he's speaking in that context to them. Jews and proselytes, it says there in the scripture, it says there in verse 10 of this chapter, Jews and proselytes. So we read this, we have to understand that context in which Peter is now speaking. And he says to them in verse 29 through 32, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Go to verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." Talking about the things that happened in that context with the, you know, the Jews require a sign. So that was a great sign of when the Holy Spirit came upon those of the little flock. And there was a great thing that the Jews saw in relation to a witness of God. The Jews require a sign, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:22. So we see here the great point toward the Hebrews is that Christ is raised to sit on David's throne. He is the Messiah, spoken of in the Old Testament, that would come, raised to sit on David's throne. That is the association of Jesus Christ toward Israel. Now, When they rejected the will of God in Acts chapter 7, God brought in this brand new apostle Paul, and God went along, and it's Paul, this apostle Paul guy had a great and wondrous revelation of the mystery. And there were mysteries associated with the revelation of the mystery. And Paul talks about in Romans 16:25, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So in that particular point of God, this revealed, this thing revealed to Paul that was never before known. Hid in God, it says in Ephesians chapter 3:9. And not made known unto the sons of man in Ephesians chapter 3:6. So we see these points that this mystery revealed to Paul about a body in which Gentiles and Jews who believe the gospel that Paul was given would be put as fellow heirs into a body. Not a favored nation under covenants and the law, not a favored nation of a certain race of people, but Gentiles and Jews, the two types of people that God deals with, put together. No nation, not one nation above every other nation, but in Paul, what was given Paul, it was that fellow heirship, something completely different that was not prophesied. Fellow heirship into a body. This is the glorious point of God calling out mankind in his grace before he calls to them in his wrath. He's calling to mankind in his grace, and a whole dispensation of his grace. And it's wondrous, you know, and it's marvelous that it's, and we see it in Paul's writing about what he was given was not of man. But let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Because this boils down to what God wants to be preached. What gospel, what is the association, the good news to us? To them, to Israel, and to the Hebrews, in the kingdom plan, it was that, just like prophetically spoken, Jesus Christ was the one risen to sit on David's throne. That's how it is in the prophetic association. But we need to know that there is that gospel, that good news of the prophecy program, is different than what is now to us. Now notice what Paul says about this gospel given to him. Look at here in Galatians chapter 1, 6, 7, wait a minute, 11 and 12. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Notice what the Apostle Paul, who was given the revelation of the mystery, says about the gospel he was given to preach. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Nobody taught it to Paul. He didn't learn it from Peter and the 12. He didn't learn it from anybody else. This gospel that was given to Paul, the good news of salvation that was given to Paul to preach, was by revelation of Jesus Christ. It was a mystery that had to be revealed to him so that we could have it in God's word and know what God wants for today. And it's not a prophecy. It's a program related to the mystery of God. And that's why what is today is so important to know that there is a gospel today that is different than what was preached by Peter and the 12. It was something that involves a mystery. Now, again, prophetically, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. But look at what Paul says about that gospel. Peter was the chief of the 12. And notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2. But contrawise, when they saw, Paul is speaking, but contrawise, verse 7, but contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, and I messed up. It's good that you have a Bible because you could catch me in these mess ups. I really need to be caught, and you really need to have a Bible handy, please, because I really messed up there. Please get your Bible because I'm prone to mess up because of me being a man. Here we go. Galatians chapter 2. But contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Peter was the chief leader of the 12. And notice what in Scripture is the gospel that he preached is called. He got his gospel because he preached the same thing that Jesus taught him to preach. Jesus taught Peter and the 12 the things of God when he walked in Judea. He taught them, and they preached the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what it's called in the Pauline doctrine. Well, just to get a point on that, you keep Galatians 2 handy. And let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Keep Galatians 2 handy, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 4. Look here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says, now after that in the wilderness, the temptation in the wilderness, it's called in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in his hand. So we see what he preached. And go to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, notice this, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, what in their synagogues, Jewish houses of worship, or places of worship, should I say, synagogues for the Jewish way of worshiping, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, we see what he preached and what the results were in relation to that preaching. It was a seeing and believing ministry, administration. So we see there, believing and seeing, the preach the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Those things went hand in hand in that preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And notice in Matthew chapter 10, still holding on to Galatians chapter 2, we notice over here that in Matthew chapter 10, that, let's see here, Matthew chapter 10, okay, it says here, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Well, of course, the Gentiles are considered the uncircumcision. Remember, in Galatians 2, 7, Paul said he had the gospel of the uncircumcision. And the Jews are called in Paul's showing there, showing that Peter had the gospel of the circumcision. And notice that it is not the things here in way of the Gentiles, the uncircumcised Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were to preach that kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the preaching of the things. That's what they were commanded to preach. And the things they were allowed to, that was the thing that was toward their administration. And in Matthew chapter 28, we see, it's there, he tells them in verse 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Great declaration. Great declaration. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That has to do with the prophetic program and Jesus. Now, again, we were looking at things relating to that preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and what Christ taught those 12 and the things related to that ministry of the 12 and the preaching and the teaching that Jesus taught them. They continued. And when they preached that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne, that had to do with things related to the gospel of the kingdom, that prophetic plan of a kingdom on this earth. And it goes back into the Old Testament, and that Jesus Christ is the one who came to that for that purpose. That is what the gospel of the kingdom entails, and we could go into it further. There's so much in relation to administration of that gospel of the kingdom that I won't get into all the particulars now, but they were to preach that into all the world. The 12 were. But it was to start in Jerusalem, Judea. And then it was supposed to have a consecutive order of in relation to those things. First, the nation had to be that holy nation of God. And they would have to be equipped to, the nation to be in relation to being equipped to do the will of God as a favored nation. Of course, we know that didn't happen. They rejected Christ in Acts. So instead of going into this whole thing about the gospel of the kingdom, perhaps you could have some questions about it later. But as you see, it was the gospel of the circumcision, as in Galatians chapter 2, 7. It's the same preaching that relates to the prophetic plan of God, or is it in a line relation to that prophetic plan of God? It started off with Jesus preaching the kingdom, and those things about Jesus being raised to sit on David's throne. You know, David's sepulcher wasn't with him anymore, so David would be resurrected unto that kingdom, as and Christ would sit on that throne. He'd be raised to sit there, and that's that whole point about the gospel of the kingdom. It relates to those things of prophecy, and it's called the gospel of the circumcision. But Paul says also in Galatians 2, but contrawise, when he went to see them, but contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, that gospel of the circumcision had to do with things to Israel, prophetically. But notice, Paul is given the gospel of the uncircumcision, about a body, it's about a body of Christ, about Gentiles being made fellow heirs and of the same body, Ephesians 3:6. Fellow heirs, Gentiles, fellow heirs. Now, there's a difference between Christ saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, those half-Jews, Samaritans, don't even go to them, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, there's a difference between that and what Paul was given in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, saying this mystery was that the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. By the gospel. Ephesians 3:6. So there's a gospel that is associated with that mystery about the Gentiles being made fellow heirs and of his body. There's a gospel in which puts people into what God is doing now. That is what Paul preached. And that has to do with what he was given, that is of a revelation of the mystery. So, again, the prophetic preaching of Peter and the 12, Jesus Christ was raised to sit on David's throne. And there was repentance and being baptized associated with that particular ministry of faith and works type of thing. But notice what the gospel that Paul preached says. 1 Corinthians 15. Here is that gospel that Paul had that was not taught him by any man. He wasn't taught it. No man, he didn't learn it of any man. It was given to him by revelation. The only way a mystery can be given, something hidden in God, the only way it can be given is if it's revealed by the one who has the mystery. And Christ, God, revealed it to him. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul's getting ready to declare the gospel which he preached, which he didn't receive of man, neither did he teach. Did no man teach him. How it says it in Galatians 1:11-12. Don't depend on me to tell you things right. We have the Word of God. You can check me out on these things because I'm prone to mess up. Okay, so you see here, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice here, in the gospel that Paul preached, it's not that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne, just like prophetically declared, the gospel of the kingdom is at hand. It's none of that. It's about Christ dying for our sins. The uncircumcised Gentiles who God gave up and were going to let go to hell for after he gave them up. God had a miraculous plan, marvelous plan, the grand plan of calling out the whole world by his grace before the great time he calls them out in his terrible wrath. This is outstanding. The grace of God, that he died for our sins. That's magnificent. He died for our sins. It becomes personal then. You have to make a personal decision. That's the point about this gospel that was preached of Paul. It has to do with the dispensation of the grace of God gospel, and it's different from what is given Peter. Peter was given the gospel of the uncircumcision. We're given the gospel. Excuse me. Peter was given the gospel of the circumcision. Peter was given the gospel of the circumcision. We were given the gospel of the uncircumcision that Paul preached. This is the what God is doing presently, what he's given Paul. And let's read the things I like to show people. I don't know if any new people here. I just like to read this because it's so clear on what God is doing now. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You want to understand that mystery of Christ given Paul? You got to read it. He wrote it down. It was given him to fulfill God's word, Colossians 1:25. Paul was given to fulfill God's word with this mystery, verse 5. About this mystery given Paul, which was revealed to Paul, and which you can read about in his writings, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now that now has to do with the guy who is giving it coming on the scene. That's Paul. And here it is. Here's the mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirship. Never before. Unprecedented. Fellow heir Gentiles with the Jews. Are you kidding me? That's an unprecedented situation that was given to Paul. And so, of the same body and partakers of its promise in Christ by the gospel. There was somebody in here named Which Gospel. And that's an important point. It's a very important point that you understand which gospel you're under. You're not under the gospel of the circumcision. You're under what was given Paul in this dispensation of God's grace, calling out a body to be caught up to heavenly places. You know, the heavens of creation need to be reconciled. We saw last week how that angel who came to Daniel, it took him 21 days to get the message to Daniel. But he had gotten the message way before that 21 days, and he was supposed to have it to Daniel way before that 21 days. But he was fighting for 21 days with this prince of Persia in the spiritual realm. And then he says, when I leave, I go back to fight with the prince of Persia, and the prince of Greece shall come. So he says there's an angelic battle, and he wouldn't have got to Michael coming to help him. You can read all about it in Daniel chapter 11. There's something that needs to be reconciled in the heavenlies of creation that is not of God's will. And there are principalities and powers in these heavenly places, spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's a location out there in creation, high places of creation that have to do with things that relate to the things of earth. A prince of Grecia, a prince of Persia, they have a controlling influence in this blinding policy of Satan on this earth. And its control is out there in the heavenlies. So there's something that needs to be reconciled. And know what it is? Well, I mean, you know what's going to do that reconciling? It's a body. A body that's going to has a different, Israel has that earthly inheritance. Well, God's going to use the body to reconcile those heavenly things. We're going to be God's government. We who believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and risen again, we're going to be the reconciling of those heavenly places there. So we see there that this whole plan of God has to do with a different inheritance than the earthly prophesied inheritance. But again, So when we look at this thing about the beloved, and you see it in Jude, Peter, James, John, and Jude, and Revelation, and Hebrews, it has to do with that kingdom purpose. They're the beloved of God in that purpose. You can't put yourself into something that God's not doing. We have to understand there are dispensational principles of God's will. So that has to do with the point about the gospel and the things related to the confession. And see, our confession is not a physical confession. Now, you know, there are some who may disagree with me on this, but praise the Lord, we can agree to disagree without, I'll just say we can agree to disagree, but you know what, when I look at Romans chapter 10, and I see, when I look at Romans chapter 10, and it says here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It has to do with relation to that gospel. But look, there's a mouth and a heart involved in that. So is it that physical heart that pumps the blood? Or is it that physical heart that pumps blood in the physical realm that you have to believe with that? Is your brains in that? You know what I'm saying? I hope you get an idea of what I'm saying. It's not that physical heart. So therefore, when you look at the mouth there, it has to do with more than just the physical things. It's that spiritual witness and confession from the spirit, from the soul believing that deeply within that is true. Christ did die for my sin, believing that gospel and that he was raised from the dead. That's if it's one thing, the other has to be the same thing. I hope you get the point there. That there is an order there. If it's not a physical heart, then it's not a physical mouth. But the things to us don't have to do with being physical. The things to us in a dispensation of grace, it has to do with God making the complete provision and us being in agreement with what that gospel says. The gospel, you notice, to Paul, Paul preached, the gospel is a statement. It's a statement, and a statement to be believed. It's not that you go out and do something. The gospel is that Christ did it all. He died for our sins, was buried, and risen. So that very confession of that has to do from an inward witness of things. And so when I, you know, it's a dispensation of his grace. And like Romans 4:5 says, what is to us, Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's to him that worketh not. You don't take actions in a dispensation of grace to get the righteousness of God put to your account. You don't take actions in the dispensation of grace to get justified from all your sin nature. You don't take action. It's to him that worketh not. So it's so wonderful in the grace of God that we have this accord of God, which is not to them that work. So you see the difference there between what is given to the saints of Israel and what is given to members of the body of Christ. And I have some other things that I'll have to address next week on this study in relation to this. But I'll end there. I think a good point to end with this study here is in relation to that particular point that we saw in John. And I'll just continue on with the context of things. Thank you, folks, for coming in tonight. I appreciate y'all coming by. Grace and peace to you all. Remember, tomorrow night,